Forgot my mic this morning. If somebody famous came walking through those doors, sat down in church, took you out to lunch, who would you think it would be? Like, who famous would you be excited to see come through those doors? Who? Billy Graham? All right. That's a little bit more religious than mine. Patrick Stewart, yeah. I've got Jackie Chan. All right. And there's no argument. I mean, he's the best action star in the world. All right. Jackie Chan is the inventor of the action comedy. He does his own stunts. I mean, this guy is absolutely amazing. If he came in and he sat down in church, one, I'd be really excited for him to be a Christian. Would be. But the other thing, and he took me out to lunch, oh my gosh, I would be super excited, right? And then I wouldn't be able to contain it, right? I'd be so excited about it. The next day, tomorrow, I'd go to work and I would tell all the guys at work, hey, guess who took me out to lunch yesterday? Now, nobody would believe me, but I would be so excited to tell other people about it, right? Because, Jackie Chan, I mean, he's the best, okay? My favorite actor, he does it all. He does action. He does drama. He sings. Have you heard it? Oh, great voice. He does it all. Amazing guy. Amazing guy, all right? 2,000 years ago, somebody walked this earth, and people got in contact with him, and they were excited to tell other people about him. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he could not contain himself, and he told people exactly who Jesus was. And just like the guys at work the next day who wouldn't believe me, other people were like, what? You know, they didn't believe him, but that didn't stop him from telling other people, right? The disciples, other people who came in contact with him, got excited and went and told other people. It's easy for us to come to church every Sunday and forget who we're in contact with. And it's not Jackie Chan, right? It's someone better. It's something better. We go through the motions every week. We go, maybe we're in our Bible study every day. Maybe we're in contact and we forget how awesome and exciting and amazing, how it turns the world upside down. All the things that we struggle with, all the things that we go through, there's answers for. And yet, we keep it to ourselves. And we don't share it. And we're not always excited. And I know it's hard to always be excited. Maybe if I knew Jackie Chan on a daily basis, it wouldn't be as exciting to tell people. Right? I get that. But we have a relationship with the creator of the world. And it's something to be excited about. I'm going to turn it over to Fred as we head out the door.
Thank you. Was it just me or I did not expect Jackie Chan, okay? I did not. Well, as I look over the audience this morning, I actually could see everybody today. We've got new lights in our sanctuary, and so it makes it a lot brighter. Certainly good to see that. Appreciate us finally doing something like that because we've been needing it for quite some time. I think this next week or this coming week we're going to be getting new lights in the gym as well. Is it this coming week?
No, I think later.
Okay. So that in the parking lot, yes, everything. We're thankful for all that. Appreciate you all so very much. What I want you to do, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 2 and just mark it. 1 Thessalonians 2 and mark it. Okay? And after you mark that, I want you to then turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. And we're going to look at verses 19 and 20 in just a few moments here. We are concluding our series on revisiting our mission this morning. We're going to be, you know, we've been doing this for the last 4 weeks. Our mission, of course, as you see, is on the wall. It's also on the above the double doors as we leave the sanctuary to just remind us that as we leave here, our mission doesn't stop, okay? Our mission continues. But let me ask you, what is our mission? I want you to say it with me, the top line, okay? Connect with God, grow in Christ, serve one another, reach the lost. Okay, that is our mission. Now, we refer to this as our mission statement. Many churches have them. But often the problem with mission statements, they become mere statements that leave no or little impact on the Christian sitting in the pew. We got to understand that our mission statement hanging on the wall is our mission. It is your mission and my mission, and that you know, we are to understand how we are to incorporate this mission in our daily lives. It is actually God's mission for His church. God's mission for the survival and continued growth of His church. It is no more a mere statement than the Great Commandment and the Great Commission are mere statements, because our mission is based on those two statements. And when or if these banners come off these walls, that is not the end of our mission. Because if we ever halt our mission, then Garfield Christian Church will cease to exist as a vital part of this community. Now, thus far, we have looked at the first three actions of our mission. Number one, connect with God. And how we connect with God? We come to worship. I mean, we come here to worship Almighty God. And every time we enter the sanctuary in our corporate worship, we need to remind ourselves that we are entering the very throne room of God. That this is His house. And we are here to worship Him and to serve Him and to glorify His holy name. Secondly, we looked at growing in Christ. We are to grow in Christ. And the way that we grow in Christ, as you read God's Word, is to study God's Word, is to read it, to study it. It's important that we do that. But the problem often is, statistically, the majority of Christians do not read their Bibles, except when they are here in church. And because of that, we are urging people to join a Bible study group. We have several groups on Sunday during the week, and we encourage everybody to join a Bible study group so that through our study of God's Word, we can grow in our faith and grow in Christ. Thirdly, we are to serve one another. And we talked about that last week, the importance of serving one another, to getting involved in ministry, okay? This church has many ministries, and if you're not involved in a ministry, see me, and we will connect you with one, okay, and set you up with one. Today, we look at the fourth action of our mission, and that is to reach the lost, to share Christ. We've been doing, started yesterday, in fact, our beginning of our Reach Bean Creek campaign, where some of us, there were 9-10 people here on Saturday, and several of us went out and knocked doors and met our neighbors face-to-face to invite them to come to our Easter worship services. And we did that yesterday. We're going to do that for the next Saturdays also, so you have an opportunity to participate in that if you wish. But what we need to understand that we want to reach the lost. We want to share Christ with others so that they too can connect with God, grow in Christ, serve one another, and reach the lost. Okay? And that's what we want to happen here. I want you to listen once again to Jesus' great commission from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Listen to what He said. Jesus tells his disciples that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Now, when we look at this mission from Jesus Christ, the verb tense of the command go is in the Greek actually means as you go. As you go. As you go through life. As you go to work. As you go to the gym. As you go to the doctor. As you go to Walmart. We are to look for opportunities to share Christ with others as we go. And God wants you and me to reach out to people that we know who are lost without Jesus. I mean, you know, we come in contact with so many people on a daily basis, co-workers, neighbors, friends, family. And yet, what efforts have we put forth to bring any of them to Christ? What have you done to bring any of them to Christ? I mean, have we tried to tell them about Jesus? Have we invited them to worship? I mean, do they even know that you're a Christian? Do your co-workers know that you are a Christian? Now this morning, we're going to restudy Paul's method in reaching the lost from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. So if you want to turn over there, do that now, 1 Thessalonians 2. And the Apostle Paul reminds the Christians at Thessalonica of the friendship that was developed as he shared with them the gospel. Not only the gospel, but his own life as well. And I want us to look at three factors or three components that were instrumental in bringing the lost souls to Christ that Paul was using to bring lost souls to Jesus. Number one is information. Say that with me. Information. I want you to look 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 6. Listen to Paul. You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. You know that we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you, or anyone else. Now, faith comes by what? Okay? Faith comes by hearing. The Bible tells us, the book of Hebrews, that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. As you read Paul's words here in this section here, you sense his urgency in presenting the gospel. Paul said, in spite of strong opposition, we did not hesitate to tell you about Jesus. Now, really, everywhere Paul went, he found people to oppose him. He found people who would persecute him, who would stone him, who would beat him, all the things that he went through. But yet, everywhere he went, Paul said, we did not hesitate to tell you about Jesus. I mean, he knew that people were dying in their sins. And he realized that no matter what happens to him, they have to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what the word gospel means. The word gospel means good news. Church, in order for us to get serious about telling our friends and our family about Jesus, we have to come to the realization that they are lost. I don't know if we really understand that. But we all have friends and family, co-workers, neighbors, who are lost without Jesus. They are lost, and they are not going to go to heaven unless they give their lives to Christ. So why aren't we sharing Christ with them? Why aren't we telling them about Jesus? I mean, I believe that the reason many Christians do not tell others about Jesus is because they're afraid. They're just simply afraid. They're afraid of rejection. They're afraid of being ridiculed. They're afraid of not knowing what to say or to how to teach. I mean, we have made evangelism much too difficult. You know, we really have. We have made it much too difficult. The most effective way to tell someone about Jesus is not standing behind a pulpit like I'm doing and preaching this morning. The most simple way to bring others to Christ is by using your everyday conversation. And you don't force the conversation. You just let it come naturally. I mean, you could be at work and say something very casually to a coworker like, "Boy, that discussion we had at church yesterday was amazing." And don't say anything else. Well, give them time to think about that. And then when they ask, "Why? What was so amazing about it?" I mean, that gives us an opportunity to be able to share Christ. Or, you know, next Sunday night is our night of worship. It's coming up next Sunday, and this is a great time to talk about our soup and chili supper, inviting people to come to that. You know, come for soup and chili. You can share how much you enjoy praising God in song and say something like, "Well, you would really enjoy our praise band. I mean, they are gifted. They are truly gifted. You should come hear them sing. Man, you should come hear them." I mean, it's just a way that, you know, you open up a conversation about our church and what it means to you. Just using your everyday conversation. You don't have to carry a big black Bible around and say, "Let me tell you what the Lord says here," you know. It's not that at all. It's just simply letting people know about Jesus. Inviting people to come worship with you. Inviting them to, you know, in so many ways, just to let them know, "Hey, you know, we're here, and I just want to tell you about what Jesus Christ has done for me." And sharing Christ with others can be as simple as telling someone about your favorite hobby or another passion that you might have, okay? Let me ask, how many grandparents do we have here this morning? Will you raise your hand? Okay, all these grandparents. You know, I've always said you can tell who the grandparents are because they're the only people who can strut while sitting down, okay? We know exactly who you are. And this may come as a surprise, but did you realize that grandparents do not have a problem talking about their grandkids? They don't have a problem. In fact, most of them, you know, will you know, carry either a wallet or a cell phone full of pictures, okay? I mean, they will let you know. They pull out those pictures and they tell you, you know, proudly tell you about everything that you want to know and what you don't want to know about their grandkids, right? And believe me, I know because I'm one of you, okay? I have pictures of my phone, okay? So see me after church this morning, all right? But grandparents are a lot like the story that the late Zig Ziglar tells about a little boy who comes to his dad while his dad was right in the middle of doing his taxes, and he wants to ask his dad a question. And again, his dad is busy doing taxes, okay? And so he says to him, "Son, really, I'm just kind of busy right now. Just go ask your mother." And the little boy said, "Well, I just didn't want to know that much about it, you know." So it's much like that, okay? And if you don't want to know that much about grandkids, then don't ask their grandparents. But the reason grandparents like to talk about their grandkids is because they love them deeply. Am I right, grandparents? Man, we love our grandkids. And it's that same love, that and passion for Jesus, and even more so, that should incite us to tell others about Him. And so the main thing is just be yourself and look for opportunities to share Christ with others, okay? Just look for those opportunities. But secondly, Paul goes on to say that not only does it take information, but Paul also says it takes participation. Say this with me. Participation. Let's read on the latter part of verse 6 through verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 2. Paul goes on to say, the latter part of verse 6, he said, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you. But we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted, listen to what he says, that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to any one of you while we preached the gospel of God to you. Now, participation is getting involved with people. It's just building relationships. That's what it means to participate, to building relationships. Again, Paul said here that we were gentle among you like a nursing mother tenderly caring for her children. Friends, there is no way that we are going to bring people to Christ without being kind and gentle with them. If you are rude to another person or sarcastic or obnoxious, it will be very unlikely that you will ever even give the opportunity to talk to that person about Jesus. And you certainly, it'll be extremely difficult to ever bring that person to Christ. I mean, here you are at a restaurant. And you're looking through the menu, and your waitress, who is new and inexperienced, you know, takes your order. But when she brings your food to the table, she messed up your order. And so you rudely say, "This is not what I ordered. Take this back and see if you can bring me my right order this time. Will you please just take this back?" And so you belittle her throughout the entire meal. After you've done eating, you leave her only a quarter tip. And you even tell the manager, you know, what a lousy waitress she was. But then comes Sunday morning, and you are appointed to greet the people as they enter the church building, and this nicely dressed young lady walks into the building, and you immediately recognize her as the waitress that you yelled at the day before. And as soon as she sees your face, she turns away, walks away, and never, ever returns. Paul dealt with the Thessalonians with love, compassion, gentleness, and companionship. He knew that he had to be friends with the Thessalonians if he was to ever bring them to Christ. And this was the method that he used wherever he went. In fact, Paul goes on to say, he said, we loved you so much that not only were we wanting to share with you the gospel, and it's important that you share the gospel, but he says, we wanted to share with you our own lives as well. Now, this is what some people refer to as friendship evangelism. When we begin sharing our lives with others, we will have greater opportunity in bringing them to Christ. The disciple, you know, to disciple people, we disciple people by simply letting them know that we care. That you let them know that you care. So how do we show people we care? Well, number one, be friendly. Okay? Be friendly. Solomon tells us in Proverbs 18, verse 24, the King James Version, he says, if you want friends, act friendly. I think that's wise advice, don't you think so? If you want friends, then act friendly. We need to be friendly. We should have a smile on our face and kind words on our lips. And I believe the more a person knows you, likes you, trusts you, the better your conversations will be about Jesus Christ, okay? So it's imperative that we make friends with others. You know, yesterday as we were out knocking doors, We had an opportunity just to try to let our light shine in this neighborhood. We were on the south side of the creek and knocking doors. Cheryl and Kathy Cloutier were with me as we were knocking doors down Dawson Street on the south side. And we came across people that came to the door where where they you could tell that they were just going through some things, and a woman who looked like that she had a stroke, and I asked, "Is there anything that we can pray for you about?" And she said, "Well, my health." And she was, you know, just really unstable and was standing there at the door. And I said, "Well, would you care if we come in and you could just sit down?" And so she went into her living room and she sat down. And Cheryl and I were in there with her and just had prayer with her, just pray over her. Not only my health, but the health of my family and others. There were others that we prayed with. So it was just opportunities to be able just to let our light shine and trying to develop friendships. And this week, I'm going to be sending out letters to these very people that we came in contact with and prayed with. Send them letters to let them know, hey, we're still praying for your family. We're praying for your health. We're praying for all these things that they want us to pray for. It is making friends with others, okay? Secondly, we show people we care you got to be connected, okay? You have to be connected. Invite people over for dinner. Get to know them. Share your interests, your likes and dislikes. Go to the movies. Go hunting or fishing or camping together. Play golf. Go shopping. Invite them to worship. This is how you cultivate friendships. And when we share our lives, showing people that we truly, genuinely love and have concern for them, they will know that you care and are not trying to deceive them and will be there and be more willing to listen to you. When you share Christ, they're more willing to just to hear you out when you talk about Jesus because they see Christ in you, okay? They see it in you. But then thirdly, we got to be helpful. You got to be helpful. Help people with their needs. Visit with those who are sick. Lend a helping hand in any way you are able. This is the method of Jesus and the early church. And as we talked about last Sunday, serving those in need is a way that we let them see Jesus within us, that we let our light shine so that they will praise our Father in heaven. That's how we let our light shine. Jesus said, by your good deeds, you let your light shine before others. There was a woman who came to an elder of a congregation in Lubbock, Texas, asking if he would study the Bible with her. It's the church, the Sunset Church of Christ, where I attended in Lubbock, Texas, as I was also going to the Bible college while I was there. It's where my wife and my two daughters were attended. But she comes into this church just, one day, finds an elder who is there and asks, could someone study the Bible with me? Man, I mean, we're out there looking for people to study the Bible. And then she just walks into the building. And of course, he gladly studied with her, which resulted in the woman's acceptance of Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior and baptism. But curiously, the elder asked the woman, what was it that prompted you just to walk in off the street and ask us to study the Bible with you? And she told this elder, over a year ago, our 3-year-old son was hit by a car and was critically injured. And it was kind of tough and go there for a while. And during that time, our next door neighbor, who was a member of this church, she said, was so helpful. I mean, she took care of our other son. She cooked dinner for my family. She did our shopping, cleaned the house, washed the laundry. She did all of that without a single complaint or asking for anything in return. She just did it out of love for us, she said. But the lady continued, I knew my neighbor had something I didn't have. I knew that she was a member of the Church of Christ here, and that's all I knew about her. But my mom told me to have nothing to do with her because my mother said that members of the Church of Christ were judgmental, unfriendly, and despised anyone who was a member of their church. And she concluded with tears, my neighbor was nothing like what my mom described, just the opposite. A few weeks ago, she moved away. I really miss her. But while my son was in the hospital, my neighbor encouraged me to read my Bible, and I just wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready to read it. But after she moved, I started reading it and discovered what she had that I didn't have. She had a loving Savior. A loving Savior. Helping others when they are in need, expecting nothing, I mean nothing in return, really makes an impact in the lives of people. But sadly, the statement that the young woman's mother made had some validity. There are those Christians from every fellowship, not just the Church of Christ, but also from independent Christian churches, every fellowship, there are those who come across as being better than others and often present themselves with that holier-than-thou attitude. You know the kind of people I'm talking about? And brothers and sisters, that has to stop. Okay? That has to stop. Paul became friends with the Thessalonians. He shared the gospel and he shared his life. And the Thessalonians were more eager to hear the gospel because of Paul's genuine concern for them. I mean, there's an old cliche, an old saying, and it is so true that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And how true that is. We want to share Christ with people who will listen and who will be more of an ardent listener than one with whom you have a mutual love and friendship. But then thirdly, the third factor that Paul uses here is demonstration. Say that with me. Demonstration. Information, participation, demonstration. Let's read on verses 10 through 12. Paul said, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, listen to what he says, how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom of glory. Friends, we are to live the life of Christ. Amen? We are to live the life of Christ. I mean, how can we teach someone the gospel without living it? I mean, our non-Christian friends, and I don't know if you realize this or not, but there are many, and I think it's so true, that our non-Christian friends, family, neighbors, co-workers are watching us. They're watching us to see if we believe what we profess. And if we are not real, then they don't want to have any part of us or our God. We have to be real. We have to be striving to live like Jesus daily in our lives. I mean, how can we show a friend the importance of worshiping God if you regularly absent yourself from the worship assembly? How can you teach against immorality when you access porno sites on the internet? How can you tell someone about the love and the mercy of God when you refuse to forgive another person for an offense committed against you? I mean, we can't. We simply can't. It doesn't matter how true our teaching is. If we're not striving to live like Jesus, then we are not going to bring people to Christ. We have to demonstrate Christ in our daily lives. Paul said, you and God are witnesses of how devoutly, uprightly, and blamelessly we behave toward you. Paul knew that he couldn't teach on love. If he didn't love, he knew he could not teach on purity if he wasn't pure. He knew that he could not teach on faith if he wasn't faithful. Paul knew that his life had to correspond with his teaching. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul was perfect, okay? I mean, all you have to do is read Romans 7 to find out that he struggled with sin just like everybody else. But he was one striving to live the life of Christ. And really, that's all that God requires of us. That's all he expects of us, to do what we can to follow his example, the example of his son, Jesus Christ. I mean, we won't live by it perfectly. But you see, perfection should always be our goal. Because our goal is to be like Jesus, and he is perfect. Amen? He is perfect. And when we do sin, and we all do, when we do sin, and we need to turn to the people that we sin against and say, I am sorry. Will you forgive me? I was wrong. And when we own up to our own sins, people will look at us and think, you know, he has human struggles like I have. Maybe I can live the Christian life after all. You see, Jesus came to this earth to give his life for us. Friends, the least that we can do is to live our lives for him. Don't you think so? We just need to live for him. We are saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're saved by his death, his burial, and resurrection. Let's bring up that next slide, if you will, please. That's why the gospel is called good news. It's called good news. In fact, it is too good to keep to ourselves, don't you think? We need to, not only do we need to hear it, believe it, live it, but we need to share it with others. In closing, I know that I've shared this before, but this made such an impact on me, and I wanted to share it again, especially for those who've never heard this. While I was attending Bible college in Lubbock, Texas, a man named Robert came to chapel one morning, and he preached to the student body. And you could tell that this was a man who truly, truly loved the Lord, and he was instrumental in bringing many, many people to Christ. But what was unique about Robert was his physical disability. He was a spastic, confined to a wheelchair because his muscle movement couldn't be controlled. His speech was slurred, making him difficult to understand. That morning in chapel, he sat in his wheelchair with his Bible in his lap. And he struggled to speak plainly and not allow his arms to wave about, uncontrolled. And really, we couldn't understand everything that Robert said that morning, but we knew that this man loved Jesus and he loved people. As he shared with us all his success in bringing others to Christ. And Robert would go to places and institutions where people were disabled. And these are places that we may be reluctant to go, but Robert, being disabled himself, knew that these people needed Jesus just as much as anybody else, okay? He knew they needed Christ. They needed to hear who Christ is and what Christ has done for them. And he shared with us how he baptized an older man in a huge bathtub at one of the hospitals where he went to visit. And Robert climbed out of his wheelchair, and he went up next to that man in the bathtub, and he clamped the old man's nose with his finger and thumb. And then he immersed him. And then as he brought him up out of the water, he had a muscle spasm and could not let go. And so he dunked the man 3 or 4 times before he finally was able to let go. And that poor guy would never forget the day that he was baptized and almost died at the same time, Just send him on to heaven, But after Robert spoke that morning, if not every preacher student, most of us left that assembly that morning trying to remember what flimsy excuses we make for not sharing Christ with others like Robert did. We need to understand how important it is to let people know about Jesus. The question I want you to consider is this: who do you know who needs Jesus? The truth is, we know a lot of people, don't we? We know family, friends, co-workers who are lost without Christ. I mean, Jesus tells the disciples in John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the sad reality is the majority of people on this earth, there's 8 billion people on the face of the earth today. And the vast majority of the 8 billion people on the earth today are not followers of Jesus. In fact, there are some countries that you could be arrested for even preaching Jesus. They're not followers of Christ. And Jesus said that I am the only way to go to the Father. I'm it. So that means, brothers and sisters, those people that we know who are lost without Jesus, they need to hear about Christ. Do you agree with that? They need to hear about Christ. They need to hear what Jesus Christ has done to ensure that they have an opportunity to go to heaven just as much as anybody else. That they have the opportunity to turn their life over to Christ, to accept Him as their Lord and Savior, to give their life to Him in baptism, and come up out of that watery grave completely brand new, completely cleansed of every sin they have committed in their past, every sin they commit in their presence, and every sin they commit in the future. As long as what John says in 1 John 1 verse 5, as long as you are walking in the light. That's the promise. That's the promise. So I want you to be thinking about people you know. When we talk about people that we know who are lost without Jesus, we can think of several. But there's one person in your life. Could be a family member. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a child, a cousin. Could be your coworker. But I want you to think about one person in your life who is lost without Jesus, and I want you to focus on that one person. Think of the one that is the most receptive in accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I want you to pray about that person and pray about that person by name. Pray for that individual. Pray for them every single day. Pray that God will give you an opportunity to be able to share Jesus with that person. And do this. And then when those opportunities come up, because if you pray for it, God's going to give it to you. You believe that? If you pray for opportunities, God's going to give it to you. And when that opportunity comes up, do not hesitate. Like the Apostle Paul, we did not hesitate to tell you about Jesus, to tell you the gospel. Even amidst strong opposition, we wanted you to know what Jesus Christ has done for you. Pray for that opportunity, look for that opportunity, and share Christ with that person. Will you do that? Think of that one person. You know, we can get overwhelmed when we think about all the people we know who are lost without Jesus. But focus on one person that you think is the most receptive. And pray for opportunities, look for opportunities, and talk to this person about Jesus. We're going to be singing the invitation song. During this song, it's just our opportunity to really take a deep look within our own souls, our own hearts. And sometimes, you know, we get so caught up with things in the world that Jesus kind of takes a back seat. You know what I'm talking about? Even Christians do this. And Jesus just kind of takes the back seat. But God wants us to look deep within our hearts and our souls and see what, if anything, that we need to change. What, if anything, we need to do to become more like Christ. Maybe this morning there is something that you've been dealing with that you just need your church family to pray about. We wanted to be able to pray about that this morning. Maybe you have a friend or someone that you just want the church to pray with you, that God gives you an opportunity to be able to share Christ with this individual. Maybe you're here this morning and you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. I'd like to talk to you about that. Will you give me that opportunity? Will you give me that opportunity? I mean, whatever that need might be, we want to help you this morning. We want to pray with you this morning. Will you come as together we stand and we sing?